Good morning, church. Welcome to our online worship this morning. I'm Pastor Kanan, and we have Pastor Carson joining us this morning to worship. We want to welcome you warmly, and if this is your first time here, I would encourage you to fill out the connect card so that we get to know who's watching with us behind the screen, so we can reach out to you and let you know who we are and what we do. Speaking of what we do, we are starting a new series next week. Pastor Carson, I know you're kicking start off the series as a first preacher. Can you share more with us?
Yeah, so next week we're going to kickstart this brand new sermon series called A New Hope. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you may instantly recognize where we got the name from. Pastor Kanan, have you watched Star Wars?
Yeah.
I actually have not, so I'm disappointing a lot of you guys right now. But let's talk about the sermon series. What are we talking about in this sermon series? We're actually going to be talking about the world, what's going on in the world. And if you've been listening to the news, you may hear that there's a lot of, you know, good news and also but a lot of unfortunate and bad news that's going on around the world, not only in Canada, but in the States, in the Middle East, you know, in Asia and Hong Kong. And so as Christ followers, what are we supposed to do during this time? What can we do during this time? And that's what we're going to talk about. And also, in this sermon series, we're going to be launching our Reaching Out campaign. And so if you have been with us in the last year, you may recognize what that name is and what we are doing there. We're going to give you a little bit more information at the end of the service today.
Yeah, that series seems really relevant. And as we prepare ourselves for worship this morning, I want to share with you the three songs that we are singing. It is God So Loved, Jesus, and Do It Again. So these three songs reminds us of God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. So I encourage you to think about it, reflect about that. So let us rise and pray and prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to give thanks that we can worship together this morning. And we want to give thanks that You loved us. And we want to give thanks that You sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. I pray that You'll prepare our hearts to receive what You want to share with us this morning and to prepare our hearts to hear Your message. So Lord, I pray that this morning You'll bless the time together as we worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
us. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the seas, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hands. Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms a storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled. Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my redeemer. There is power in your name. Messiah, my Savior, there is power. Stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as a lamb, you carry my healing in your hands. God, you walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me.
There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you.
waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you never failed me
faithful. Your promises are true and unchanging, and your steadfast love endures forever. We can be confident in you because of who you are. We thank Jesus for all that he has done so that we can all have a chance to receive eternal life. Brothers and sisters, whether you're coming this morning, whether you're excited or you're weary, Whether your heart is full or if it's empty, let us all come before God today, this morning, and receive His message with an open heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated.
A.W. Tulsa, one of the most influential pastor and spiritual mentor of the 20th century, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he noted, "The most important things about a person is what comes to mind when we think about God." In other words, it's not one's circumstances or personalities that dictates his decisions and actions. It's our understanding about God, his characters, his attributes and works that gives us the ultimate guidance of who we are and what we do and who we will become. If you believe God is a God who has a bunch of rules for us to follow and will punish people who do not measure up his expectation, you will likely have a great deal of fear when you're trying to relate to him. And if you're a person that think about God as his good luck charm, very likely that person will only go to him whenever he needs him. If you believe God is disengaged and live far, far away in heaven, it's not hard to imagine that you will not have a close relationship with him, because how can you relate to a distant God? As Tulsa puts it, we tend by a secret lore of the soul to move towards our mental image of God. What we believe about God does have a tremendous effect upon who we are and what we do and who we will become. And that's why we want to have the best understanding of God as we can. So far, we've learned in the past few weeks that God is all powerful and all good. And through his words, God turned chaos into order. And creation is truly a dynamic display of his power and wisdom. The incredible amounts of applied knowledge and pre-programmed interactions among the things in the universe is beyond we human beings can ever comprehend. And in fact, the heaven and earth are beautifully made. God is not only all-powerful, but he's also all-good. There's no evil or darkness in him. And God is independent of creation, and I am who I am. God has the power to create times and space and dimension at will, and he's not bound by time and does not have size and space, but he is present at every point of space with his whole being. We have also learned he is all-knowing. God fully knows himself and all things. God is holy, he is separated from sin, and he can do no evil. God is righteous, he's just, and he always does what is right. And God is the final standard of what is right. We also talk about God is full of mercy and grace, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And God definitely, certainly is love. And his love is the sacrificial love. God gives himself to sinners like us. And we are made holy by this God and his grace. And that is, he is the most amazing and awesome God. This morning, as we come to the end of this sermon series, we're going to talk about another three important attributes of God. Let's dig into the first one, the unity of God. Many people have never heard of the unity of God, but even so, it is one of the most important attributes of God. When it comes to God's relationship with us as individuals, he is the God of the universe, and we are the sinner. And somehow, you know, that's fear in us, a sinner. We probably have wondered, can we actually know whether we have upset God, or are we hurting or offending God so badly that he will respond in anger? Oh, yes. We know God is love and Jesus died for me, but at the same time, I know myself very well. I'm a sinner. I sin against God almost every single day. Pride, lust, envy, greed, and I decide to do good, but I act another way. I'm fooling myself and sin. But then I know God is holy, righteous, and just. There's no evil in him. And the Bible is clear that God cannot be in the presence of sin. But how can he be in the presence of a sinner like me? Let's face it, we are not perfect. We mess up. And to be honest, sometimes I wonder how God feels about my mistakes somehow. And I often feel like I disappointed him. Not just in the big things, but also the little things as well. Did you ring your bell somehow? What can we do? How do I know at this moment if God is angry with me or love me? Is he in his gracious mode that he is full of mercy and grace, or is he in his judgment mode? Is he the loving father at this moment or the Supreme Court judge? If God is judging me, what kind of punishment I would receive, and what is he going to do to me? You know, think about it. What if what I've just said is true? God is sometimes holy, he's sometimes love, he's sometimes angry, but at the time he's merciful when he's on his throne that he is the judge. But when he's at home, he's the good father. God is in a good mood, he will do good for us no matter what. But if God is in a bad mood, then he will execute judgment. 64 different types of attributes and tens of thousands of different combinations of gods. We will not know what we get when we encounter this God. And it all depends on your luck after all. If you good luck, you have good luck, you get the good father. But if you're bad luck, probably you get the judge. You know, I may be exaggerated a bit, but I'm sure you get the idea. Is this who our God really is? If God is like this, I will be crushed because I don't know what I can expect from him. That really scares me. But you know it. God is not schizophrenia. And that really brings out the importance of this attribute, the unity of God. So what does unity of God mean? We should not think God as some kind of collections of various attributes added together. God is not separate into different parts. It must be understood that God's character is always consistent with all of his attributes operating in unity. When we said God is good, his whole being is 100% good. He's not 99.99% good and 0.01% bad. Not at all. When we said God is love, when we said God is holy, he's firmly 100% love, he's firmly 100% holy. God will not sacrifice his holiness to satisfy his love. And God will not sacrifice his justice to uphold his mercy. In every action, he upholds his entire character in perfect unity. His attributes are constant, unified, never compromise, never separated. And that is the unity of God. The book of Romans actually gives us a great example of the unity of God. Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about the wrath of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of man. And here, Paul is talking about the Gentiles and the people in this world. And these people, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And their foolish hearts were darkened. And they do what ought not to be done. Then we flip to Romans chapter 2. Paul went on to talk about the people of God. Romans 2. We know that the judgment of God rightly fall on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, which means like the people of God, who judge, and yet you guys do them as well? Do you think you can escape the judgment? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? You are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's judgments will be revealed. Think about the scripture we have just talked about. The truth, judgment, the riches of his kindness, patience, mercy, grace, and his wrath. And then And then to Romans chapter 3, like Paul continued the message. Paul noted, none is righteous. No one. No one understand. No one seek for God. And all have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, and not even one, including everyone, even your most respected person after all. And the whole world may be held accountable to God for all we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then we flip to Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinner, Christ died for us. In the earliest chapters of the book of Romans, Paul talks about God's righteousness, his judgment, his punishment, his wrath. And when people did not repent, Paul reminds them about God's kindness, his patience, his mercy and grace. And then at the same time, God sent his own beloved son while we were still sinners and died for us. And God showed his love for us in that. And Paul is talking about God is holy and just. God will execute judgment. He's revealing his wrath, but at the same time, his mercy and grace also. And the most important part is that at the same time, through his son, Jesus Christ, God showed forth his eternal love. And all these are happening to you and me at the same time without you and me even knowing it. His holiness, his judgments, wrath, his mercy and grace, his eternal love is happening to you and me at the same times. And you see, all the attributes of God are constant, unified, never compromise and never separate. And that is the unity of God. You know, some of you may still have a hard time understanding the concept, especially when we talk about the wrath of God and his love, you know. David Banner, in his book, Surrender in Love, he noted, God's love is never compromised by anger. The presence of anger does not mean the absence of love, particularly in God, because love is God's character, not simply an emotion. I finally grasped the idea when I became a father myself. We parents always know. We always want to create a fun environment for our kids, but they also need structures and stern in discipline, right? Most parents would know, even when we are mad at our kids, there's no way in any moments that we would love them less. I myself disciplined my daughter, not because I want to destroy her, but for her own good, as I care for her and will not leave her in her mistake. God, as our loving Father, also disciplines us and showing us that he cares for us and will not leave us in our sin. His anger against sin and his love to us happening all at the same time. God is consistent and unified, and there has never been a time where God has compromised one attribute in lieu of another, and that is the unity of God. Surely, there's some people still ponder the question, which one attribute of God is the most important? But in truth, much of the error in modern theology comes from the abuse of God's unity. Theologian Wayne Grudem explained, the doctrines of the unity of God should caution us against attempting to single out any one attribute of God as the most important. At various times, people have attempted to see God's holiness, love, righteousness, or some other attributes as the most important. But all such attempts seem to misconceive of God as a combination of various parts, with some parts being like somehow larger or more influential than others. We cannot see God that way because that would mean that God is inconsistent in his own character. Wayne Grudem puts it, there's no attributes that can be singled out as the more important. It's God himself in his whole being who is supremely important. It is God Himself in His whole being whom we are to seek to know and to love, not just part of it. And that is the unity of God. And it is closely connected to the other attributes we are going to talk about this morning, the immutability of God or His unchangeableness. God will not change. But before we go on to talk about it, what if we stop to imagine the unthinkable for a moment? What it would be like if God could change? What will happen? We know God loves us, yes. But if we knew that God may change His mind, that would leave us with no choice but to live in fear. Because one day, He might be happy with us. The next day, God might be angry and display His anger. It would be very difficult for us to trust a God who is capable of having just one of those days, you know? I'm not so sure about you, but I would not want the God that I serve, I worship, to be capable of having the Monday blues. That would be super terrifying. God does not change. Theologians refer to this attributes of God as the immutability of God. Scholar Louis Berkhof concluded that the doctrines of immutability is God does not change not only in His being, but also in His attributes, in His purpose and promises. First, His being will not change. Think about this. You and I have been changing since the very moment we were conceived. Every day something about us physically is changing. But this is not so for God. In His essential being, God is always the same. Psalm 102. The heavens and earth were created by God, and they will perish. But God Himself, who exists before anything were made, will remain, as His years have no end, and He is the same. Number two, His attributes will not change. In the course of a human life, our characters may change radically according to what we have experienced and also our body conditions, like sickness. It's just part of what makes humans being. Someone that experienced something radical or tragic in life may turn from a kind person to a bitter person, or from a good person to cynical. It is not, however, what God does. God does not change. James chapter 1, 17. James reminds his reader that our God is the Father of lights and with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When you look upon the universe, you see the sun, the moon, and the stars lighten up the sky. But you know the sun, for example. Every day of the year, you will find the sun rising and setting at different times, and the shadows vary daily. But the Father of lights, who created the vastness of all universe, is unlike His creation. There's no variation or shadow due to change. He's the same every day. For if God is good, He is always good. There's no way, even a slight chance of 0.001% that God is evil. God is good all the times. And the attribute of God is today, and always will be, and exactly what it was in the Bible times. Number three, His purpose will not change. What God established before the foundation of the earth as the purpose of human history will certainly come to pass. There's no oppositions, no difficulties, no obstacle can ever change that. As He said through Isaiah 46, I am God, there is none like you, declaring the end from the beginning. My counsel will stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Theologians like J.I. Packer explain, what God does in time, He planned from eternity. And all that He has in His word committed Himself to do will perfectly be done. No part of His eternal plan changes. Number four, His promise will not change. God does not change his promises. Once he has promised something, he will not be unfaithful to that promise. Remember, God makes a promise to Abraham. God insists that Abraham and Sarah will be the father and mother of many nations. Even though they were too old for this to be possible, they will have a son of their own. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Not at all. And surely, even though Sarah was past the age of having children, God allowed her to conceive and bear a son. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old when their son Isaac was born. God's promises does not change. God does not change his being, his attributes, his purpose, and his promises, and that is the immutability of God. Let me recap one more time what we have talked about so far in the series. God is all-powerful and all-good. He is full of wisdom and beautiful. He is beyond time and space. He is eternal and he is all-knowing. And he is holy and righteous and just, full of mercy and grace, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And all these attributes are constant, unified, never compromised and never separated. And his being, his attributes, his purpose, and his promises will not change. And in the light of all these attributes, I would like to conclude the sermon series by sharing with you the trustworthiness of God, because they are all connected. Why God is trustworthy? One, God is trustworthy because he is all good. Everything God does is good. There's no evil in him. That's why he's trustworthy. God is trustworthy because he's righteous and just. When we see evils among the world, God is the one who will rule over them and ultimately pass judgment to everyone. He is the one who is fair and always does what is right. And that's why he's trustworthy. God is trustworthy because he is holy. He is sinless. He is perfect. And he is completely set apart from sin. That's why he is trustworthy. God is trustworthy because he's all-powerful. And all that God planned in eternity, he carries out in time. And all that he has in his word committed himself to do will perfectly be done. That's why he's trustworthy. God is trustworthy because he is unity. God is not divided into parts, and he is the same God always, and everything he said and he does is fully consistent with all his attributes. He is constant, unified, never compromised, and never separated. And that he is trustworthy. And God is trustworthy because he is unchanging. I am who I am. He is the self-existent being and not depending on anything else at all. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Moses and Joshua. He's God of David and Solomon. He's the God of Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel. And he's the God of Peter and John. He's God of, also God of Paul and Timothy. He's the God of you and me. And God does not change from the beginning till the very, very end. That's why he's trustworthy. God is trustworthy because he's all-knowing. He knows everything, and even the hairs of our head are all numbers. God is trustworthy because he's full of wisdom. No oppositions or enemies will be able to change God's plan and purposes. Psalm 2, the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord. And he, the God who sits in heaven, laughs at them. Enemies will never be able to change God's plan. God is trustworthy because he gives his own son for us. Romans chapter 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but give him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? He's trustworthy because he gave his own son for us. God is trustworthy because he is committed to love you with his eternal love. Let's make it clear. God will not love you more than he already has, nor is there anything you can do to make God love you less. No sin, no failure, nothing you have done or ever do will keep God from loving you. God's love is not dependent on who we are and what we do. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but give him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? God has given us his only precious begotten son while we were still sinners. And that's the ultimate and the most precious gift of all. Church, you know, there's nothing you nor I can do to get him to love you more than he has, because God has given us his perfect love, his son, precious begotten son. God has given him to us. And Paul made it very clear. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sorrow? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is trustworthy because he is committed to love you with his eternal love, and nothing can separate us from his eternal love. Brothers and sisters, let's rise and pray. Some of you here may be searching for God for some time now, and you want to know him more. It might be a surprise to you to know that God has been waiting for you that all your life to ask him to be in a relationship with you. God has given us his only begotten son while we were still sinners. He paid the price for your sin and mine, so that if we would ask God, he would extend his love and mercy to us. And 28 years ago, I asked Jesus to have mercy on me. And from that day to this now, his mercy and love are still overwhelming me. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes so that we can have a private moment. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You can pray it quietly, or you can sort of like repeat my words to God in your mind. So church, let's close your eyes and pray. Lord, I want to invite you to come into my life and dwell in my heart. You are all good and powerful, holy and just, and you are full of mercy and grace, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Lord, please, be the God of my family. Live in me as my leader from now on and be the God of my life. I will trust you for the rest of my life and follow you till the very, very end. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal love to me. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Church, I'm going to ask you all to continue to close your eyes as we continue to pray. Some of you may have already been a Christian, or you are a Christian in the past, but you may have doubts and fear and make it hard for you to trust God completely. You may have wondered where God is when you hurt and suffer. And maybe this morning, it's time for you to let go your feelings of doubts and fear, because you know God is trustworthy. He'll never fail us, and his promise is always the same. And I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Yes, Lord, my world is full of doubts, uncertainties, and difficulties. But Lord, I would like to open up to you again because I know you are trustworthy. Your goodness and grace are never changing. And even when my faith wears thin and my love grows cold, Lord, I want you to be my unchanging God, my unchangeable provider, the lover of my soul. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe, yes, I will see you do it again. And I believe you will not fail me. Please help me, Lord, to come back to you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's stand and have a time of worship together.
See you do it.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. God, you're holy. You're righteous. You're faithful. You're powerful, and you're good. You're loving, and your love does not change. You are unity. We praise you for who you are and thank you for being the unchanging God who always keeps his promises and never fails. Whether you've been a Christian for a very long time or have come to know God just recently, I pray for God to continue to bless you with a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray for an open heart to experience him, to receive him, and to trust him because God is trustworthy. I pray that God's abundant love and mercy fill you up and renew your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Haynes, for the message this morning. And indeed, God is trustworthy and he's someone we can count on. And through his actions, he showed us that we can count on him because he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. At the start, Pastor Carson, you mentioned sharing more about the campaign. Would you like to share more?
Yeah, so I'll tell you more about the Reaching Out campaign that's starting next week. So give you a little bit of origin story. Where did this come from and why did this come from? So in last year, when COVID first hit us, in around the April and the May area, we realized, a lot of people around the world and in this community are getting affected. And as the pastors and the counselors, they met together and we brainstormed and we talked amongst one another and we prayed. And we asked ourselves, what can we do? Because we realized we're called to be the light of the world, but not just in talking, not just in preaching, but also in really practical action. So what can we do? And so last year, we launched this Generosity Reaching Out campaign. What ended up happening was this. In the whole month of May, every single dollar of offering that we received there was donated, was set aside and donated to four nonprofit organizations, such as, the Richmond Hospital Foundation, Compassion Canada. We didn't save any of those for ourselves, but we donated it out. And we realized this is what God has called us to do. And so in this year, we're going to continue the same thing. Generosity campaign is not a one-off, it's not a one and done kind of a thing, but we're going to continue this every single year. So what we're going to do is for the whole month of May, we're going to collect the offering that we usually receive and we're going to set it aside and donate it to four nonprofit organizations that's really helping out the community in a very practical and a close kind of a manner. So our encouragement to you today is this. As you're preparing your finances, would you set aside some amount to contribute and to donate to these organizations? And our challenge to you is also this. Would you consider giving more than you usually do? And would you consider giving more than last year? And also, would you consider giving in addition to what you usually do to the church? And our hope and our prayer is that everybody gets to be a part of this generosity campaign and a part of God's mission.
All right. And on that note, I would like to share with you the different ways that you can give. So when you head over to mykec.ca, you'll find out that you can give through check, online payment, or even using the PayPal. So I encourage you to think about it and to practice that and put that into our actions. So we have come to the end of today's worship. And Pastor Carson, would you like to bless us?
Yes. So today, our benediction is going to come from the book of Philippians. So receive the word of God. Church, go now to will and to work for God's purposes. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Be filled with the same love and look to the interests of others. With reverence for God, work out your salvation. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Church, next week we're going to have communion. Make sure you grab some bread and wine, and we'll see you next week.